Like to call the meeting in order, please. Council members, microphones are live. Slight change in the agenda. We're going to move the minutes on to consent, and then we're going to go right to presentations, and then we'll swear in the council members, and we'll take a 10-15 minute recess while we kind of reacclimate everything, and then we'll start the evening session for the council meeting. So with that, Mike.
Number two, presentation of plaques of appreciation to outgoing council members.
Is your mic on, Mike?
Yeah. So the first one, this is a plaque of appreciation to Councilmember Brendan Burns. Presented to Brendan Burns, town council member, June 2012 to November 2016, in appreciation of your dedicated service to the town of Oro Valley, Arizona. Brendan, thank you. And the second council member, this is presented to William Garner, town council member, June 2008 to November 2016, in appreciation of your dedicated service to the town of Oro Valley, Arizona.
Quick, because I know we've got new council members coming in. I just want to thank everybody. Again, 8 years has been a nice ride, and I want to appreciate everybody that supported me over the years, and wish the new council members good luck. Thank you.
Mike, we'll move to the next item, please.
Swearing in of three new council members with terms effective November 16, 2016.
Do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution and laws of the state of Arizona that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and defend them against all enemies foreign and domestic and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of the office of council member according to the best of my ability so help me God
enough. We had to do it.
I, Steve Solomon,
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution
of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
And laws of the state of Arizona.
And laws of the state of Arizona.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance
to the same.
To the same.
And defend them against all enemies.
And defend them against all enemies,
foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially
discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties
of the office of council member.
Of the office of council members.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we'll take a 10-minute recess. Call the meeting back to order, please. Council members, microphones are live. If I can get the council members to come up and take their seats. Standish, roll call.
Mayor Hiermath.
Here.
Vice Mayor Waters.
Here.
Councilmember Hornet.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
Would everybody please rise for the pledge? Ladies and gentlemen, upcoming meeting announcements. Ms. Nowak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. On the screen, we have our upcoming meeting announcements. Stormwater Utility Commission will meet November 17th at 4 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. Please note the November 22nd Board of Adjustment meeting has been canceled. Parks and Recreation Advisory Board will still meet November 22nd at 6 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. Historic Preservation Commission meets December 5th at 5 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. Planning and Zoning has its next meeting December 6th at 6 p.m. here in Council Chambers. And our next Town Council regular session is December 7th at 6 p.m. here in Council Chambers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any council reports before we get to Spotlight on Youth? All right, they're being done. Councilman Snyder, Spotlight on Youth.
Dressed, handsome young man we're going to talk about tonight. Okay, as many of you know, once a month we do a Spotlight on Youth feature where we feature students and youth in the community that are recommended to us when they are doing extraordinary things or things to benefit their community. And the purpose of this program is to remind people in our community that the future is in good hands and that we have great kids in Oro Valley. So let me tell you about Grant Grimmett. Grant is an impressive young man on many accounts. When it comes to his community service, he sets the bar high. He is a Boy Scout who volunteers countless hours on annual food drives and annual beautification projects. He volunteers at his local place of worship every week as an usher and altar server. Grant also excels in the classroom. He has 6 A's last semester. Good for you. When it comes to athletics, this man is hard to keep up with. He plays baseball in City O Little League. He runs cross country, and next semester he'll be wrestling. What's even more amazing about Grant is that just 2 years ago, he underwent surgery to have a tumor removed from his spinal cord. His story isn't just about service to our community and personal success. It's about overcoming incredible obstacles. That takes a lot of courage and a lot of determination for a young man. When it comes to young people in Oro Valley, I think we have the best. And Grant is living proof. Grant, thank you for your community service, for your excellence in the classroom and on the field, and for setting such a great example for other kids in our community. Thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you for my family and for how much you helped me. And I wanted to say thank you for this award.
You're welcome. And Grant also pointed out to me when he arrived that one of his art pieces is on the back wall. He wanted to be sure we knew. You are in everything, aren't you? And so it's the one on the last panel, the one with the blue stripes in the background with the orange and... So, very nicely done. So, let me present you with a plaque on behalf of the Mayor and Council of Oro Valley. It says, Town of Oro Valley, spotlight on you. Thank you, Grant Grimmett, for being a good example of volunteerism and community involvement. We appreciate you. So, can we get a photo?
With that, we'll move to department reports. Chief Sharp.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, we have two reports tonight. First will be Community Development Public Works along with Golden Ranch Fire, and then followed by the town manager's office presented by Assistant to the Town Manager, Chris Cornelison.
Mayor Hirebeth, council, residents in attendance, I wanted to bring up an important and somewhat unknown safety issue, and that's the spontaneous combustion of old oil and staining rags, you know, project rags. You know, you're doing a little refinishing of some furniture around the house and the dangers involved here. The reason this is timely to bring this up is, unfortunately, this past weekend we had a house fire, and this house fire was caused by the garbage can sitting next to the house spontaneously combusting and spreading the fire into the home, displaced the family. The house is no longer fit for habitation. As someone who does some the occasional home project, it was a subject matter I was completely unaware of. And I thought it was important that, I imagine there's others out here that are not aware of this, and that we have Golden Ranch share with us some details and get the message out about this important and, you know, somewhat looming danger issue that's out there for people. Chief Carr.
Thank you, Paul. Mr. Mayor, members of council, I'm Randy Carman, the fire chief for Golden Ranch Fire District, serving the the town of Boro Valley. I want to just take just a couple of minutes here and just tell you about this problem. Over 14,000 fires a year happen because of spontaneous combustion because of oily rags. And we've had four in Oro Valley within the last year. And as the chief that serves Oro Valley and also speaking with my partner in crime, so to speak, Chief Cheryl Horvath with Mountain Vista Fire District, we think that's too much. And obviously what we want to do is spread that message about spontaneous combustion. And what it is for the public is essentially it's the oily rags that are basically when a flammable or combustible substance is slowly heated to its ignition point through oxidation, the substance just begins to release heat as it oxidizes, and then it'll spontaneously combust if it's not contained. So one of the big issues that I want to say and I want to talk about, and I just want to show you four quick pictures, is the detrimental effects that this can have. This was an oily rag that was on a post that caused the Oracle fire last year that burned two homes and 45 acres in the town of Oracle. This was the house fire in Oro Valley last Saturday night. Essentially, it was a wiping stain. The rags were put into the garbage can. As you can see, it was put next to the electrical components there. Significant damage to not only the electrical components, but also to the house fire as well, or to the house as well. Another home in Oro Valley, that used to be a waste management garbage can. And this was at a local restaurant where vegetable oil soaked those rags. So my message to you is simply, and the message to the public is, we need to be aware of that. And I have investigator Jen Atkins here, and she is very familiar with this. Her job is to investigate these fires, and she's going to briefly tell us about how we can stop this from happening in our homes. And as Paul said earlier today, we did lose a house this last weekend, and it could have been prevented. And I know that for my partner again, Chief Horvath, and myself, we're trying to prevent it before it happens. Jen?
Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Jen Akins, Deputy Fire Marshal with Golden Ranch Fire. I'm just going to go over a couple of options we all have when we're disposing of oily rags. If you want to get rid of the rag completely, your best option is to get a non-combustible, airtight container like a metal can, fill it up with water, put the oily rag in the container, seal it, throw it away. That's if you want to dispose of it completely. If you want to keep those rags for later use, you have a couple options. One, you can again get the metal container, fill it up with water and some kind of oil breakdown substance like Dawn. Keep the oily rags in that container and then just let it sit. Or you can rinse them out with water and then lay the rag on a flat, non-combustible surface, like your driveway, if it's a concrete driveway. Just lay it out until it's completely dry. Once the rag is completely dry, then it's safe to store it properly. And the main reason why these kinds of fires happen is you have your oily rag, it's off-gassing, it's drying through oxidation. So basically oxidation just means that heat is being released. And usually oxidation happens all around us, but usually that heat has somewhere to go. In this situation, a rag is balled up, the heat is coming off the rag, it has nowhere to go, and then the oil vapors are coming off that rag. So now you have a highly flammable substance and vapors and heat. And that's why the rag spontaneously combusts. So always make sure if you store oily rags, you've rinsed them with water, you dry them out on a flat, non-combustible surface until they're completely dry.
We've got some flyers here that we've given to the council members. We're also going to leave them in the back room for the audience. But just please be aware, because one of the worst things that anyone can imagine is losing your home or the occupants in your home, your family, your loved ones, to something as preventable as a spontaneous combustion fire. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Jen.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, as you all are aware, my name is Chris Cornelson, the assistant to the town manager, and one of my main responsibilities is overseeing our youth advisory council, as well as my colleague Jessica Hine, who's also in the audience. Thank you for changing that. And did someone leave a pair of glasses?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So tonight, our intent is to have a couple of our youth advisory council members, who actually is our president and vice president, provide you an update on the activities that they've been working on for the past 6 months. Some of them, I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised on the things that they've accomplished, as well as the challenges that they're willing to take on for here in the near future. So I know you all would prefer to hear it from me, but however, I'll step aside and let Bodo and Jennifer give you that update. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Hiremath and members of council. First, thank you, Mr. Cornelison. And my name is Bodo Lee, and I'm the president of the Oro Valley Youth Advisory Council. This is Jennifer Schall, the vice president, and Sam Sepulda, another member of our council. So tonight we are here to provide you with an update about what the Youth Advisory Council does and what we have done over the past few months and this summer. First, I would just like to thank you all, and I would like to say that we appreciate all of your efforts and your support over the years for the Oro Valley Youth Advisory Council, and especially we'd like to extend our thanks to Councilwoman Snyder for your continued support of the council. So first, each year we have our monthly annual summer dive-in movie nights at the Oro Valley Aquatic Center from June to September. And as you're aware, this is a free event for the teenagers from all the different Oro Valley high schools. And we provide a fun, safe event for students to come out to the movie and enjoy that night. And this year we had a record turnout of 180 teenagers at our August dive-in movie night event. And we are looking forward to doing even better next year. Also, this coming April, we will be having our annual Field Day event at Riverfront Park. It is an event for teenagers with activities like Capture the Flag, Tug of War, Volleyball, and even the Oro Valley Explorers come out and they cook a meal for the teenagers that attend the event. Also this year, we've had the opportunity to work with the town and the Oro Valley Police Department on the new distracted driving ordinance. And we would like to thank the town of Oro Valley as well as the Oro Valley Police Department for allowing the youth to have a voice in this ordinance and for allowing the youth to be represented in this distracted driving ordinance. And we look forward to working with the town of Oro Valley to improve and to give a voice to the youth of Oro Valley, because we know that the youth play a really big role in combating the issue of distracted driving.
Also, throughout the summer, we have been working on a fundraiser campaign for the Music in Memory program. This is intended to bring personalized, reusable iPod devices to patients with Alzheimer's and dementia at the Catalina Springs Memory Care Center. We have seen how music has had a tremendous ability to bring back memories to patients struggling with dementia. And it is incredible to see patients liven up with their families again. We raised an incredible $4,000 this year, and we will be presenting the iPods to the patients this December. We would also like to give a special thanks to Marty Waters for her continued support throughout this program. We could not have done as well as we had without her support. To conclude, thank you so much for your time this evening. As the Youth Advisory Council, we hope to expand and volunteer our time to continue bridging the gap between youth and the rest of Oro Valley, as serving as the voice of youth in government. Thank you.
Yeah.
With that, I have reviewed the order of business and it will stand as posted. There are no call to the audience speakers. Is anybody in the audience that would like to address the council? Okay. We'll move right on to presentations. Mike, presentation one.
Presentation, Youth Art Program by the Arts and Culture Ambassadors.
I've waited 25 years to stand before this group.
What's the hurry, Dick? Who are you?
It's with a great deal of pleasure that I talk to you a little bit about our public youth art program. Sasha will go into some detail about how it's functioning with the schools, but I have to tell you a little story. You know, with the Nakoma Sky art project coming into play, we are approaching $3 million of public art in this community, which is remarkable for a town of our size. I had some folks from New Zealand on the art tour, and they were remarking about the youth work that was being around the town, like the quail at Narahana Park and that sort of thing. And when you think about it, that's what we have here. We have a program now that begins down here, and it goes to this level, and it goes to this level, and it goes to this level, where we can honestly say that art is the soul of our community. And it's with that, then, I would like to turn it over to Sasha, and she can tell you about the schools that are involved tonight. Sasha.
Hello, it's nice to be back, and thank you for inviting us back, our second annual youth art exhibit in the council chambers. So for the next 4 months, you're going to be greeted with beautiful mark making from our Oro Valley and Oro Valley adjacent students. And tonight you may have seen some students ambling around the back of the room with their families, and we have some teachers here. And I would like to present the three schools that are exhibiting wonderful work. We have middle school age artists that are representing the work today. And if we turn and we look at the two panels that are on your left, you are going to see work that has been provided by Immaculate Heart Middle School. Sue Duffy is their wonderful teacher. And the students studied with Ms. Duffy the work and life of Diego Rivera and how he promoted and supported the working poor. So then they were exposed to some of his work and created their own versions of his flower vendor. And some of the students even allowed us to show you some of the process. This is a mixed media project, collage, drawing, work, lots of different media used. So on the second panel, you'll notice that some of the art isn't completed, and that gives you an opportunity to see the layering that's involved. The second two panels, right in the middle of the back wall, are from Basis School, and we have fifth grade and eighth grade represented. It's mixed selected works. The botanicals that you see are the fifth grade, and they studied Leonardo da Vinci's scientific explorations and works, drawings, and then did their own versions of drawing botanicals. There is also a whole array of just what was said. The works represented were a variety of projects intended to inspire self-reflection and expression. And if you get close to some of these portraits, they're remarkable. So I really highly recommend that you go and spend a little time at the back of the room. Then we have and Helen Baker and Rachel Martin were the teachers for all of these students. And the last two panels that we have on the back of the wall are given to us by Wilson Middle School, and we have sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade all represented in these pieces. The first panel are still lifes, and you'll notice that essentially one still life was set up, and then the students were able to create the compositions and work with the media they wanted to use to make their expressive work. The second panel is every mother's favorite nightmare, and the bottom is a whole host of tattooed arms. So the kids got to draw their favorite version of a tattoo, and we created a crowd scene in front of Push Ridge, throwing beautiful abstract impressionistic drawings, which you see above the hands reaching into the air. Those are oil pastels, and those were, and Grant was part of that that group, they used music to inspire the movement that they were putting onto the paper, the different shapes and lines and values. Mrs. Tuiasa Sapopo is the teacher over at Wilson, and I always say that incorrectly. It's amazing. But I love you. Tuiasa Sapopo. So, anyway, I would like to ask all of the artists, I would like to thank all of the artists for sharing your work with us. And I would like to ask all of you to stand up. And I would like to ask the teachers to stand up as well. And could we have a photo with you?
As a matter of fact, I was going to say, after the presentation, the kids and the teachers, come on up to the front, and we'll take a group picture together.
Lovely.
Congratulations.
Will you all come on up?
Number two, proclamation, American Diabetes Month, November 2016.
All right. This ought to be interesting since the camera flashes went off. I'm just seeing white right now. Office of the Mayor, Oro Valley, Arizona, proclamation, American Diabetes Month, November 2016. Whereas in the United States, nearly 30 million people, including 1 in 9 in Arizona, have diabetes, a serious disease with potentially life-threatening complications, including heart disease, stroke, blindness, kidney disease, and amputation. And whereas an additional 86 million people in the United States are at risk of developing type 2 diabetes, and whereas approximately every 23 seconds someone in the United States is diagnosed with diabetes, and whereas an increase in community awareness is necessary to put a stop to the diabetes epidemic, now therefore I, Dr. Satish I. Hiremath, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim November 2016 to be American Diabetes Month in Oro Valley. I encourage all Americans to recognize American Diabetes Month and be part of the American Diabetes Association's movement to confront, fight, and most importantly, change the future of this deadly disease, dated the 16th day of November 2016. So with that, we'll move on to consent. Anybody want to pull anything off of consent? I'm going to pull item A. If there's no other items pulled, we'll make a motion for items B, C, D, E, and F.
Mr. Mayor, I move to accept items.
Mayor, and that also includes the minutes?
That is correct, and that also is inclusive of the minutes.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I move to accept the minutes in the B, C, D, E, and F.
Second.
On the consent agenda.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Mr. Standish, item A.
Fiscal year 2016-17 financial update through September 2016.
I pulled the financials really because I think it's important for the new council members to understand really what they're inheriting and really the trend that we're starting to see as of the first quarter. So, Stacey, if you wouldn't mind actually just hitting the highlights, and I think it's important information for community members to just see where we're at quarter to quarter to quarter. And a lot of good stuff in there. So, Stacey, with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. We saw very strong financial performance for the first quarter of this fiscal year. So I'll just touch on a couple of the areas that we're seeing that strong financial, those strong financial results. Primarily in all the funds that have local sales tax collections, we're seeing those local sales tax collections trending right on target with where they are supposed to be by this time of the year. And so we expect to end the year right on budget with those revenue sources. As well, and as expected, the delay that we saw in the construction activity from last fiscal year in the commercial and the residential sectors, we're now seeing that realized this year. Those projects are coming out of the ground, and so those revenues are starting to be received this fiscal year. And so you can see that reflected in the license and permits category in the general fund, as well as we're seeing that in the
construction sales tax category as well. So we're over budget right now on the revenues for licenses and permits, primarily due to the construction in the commercial and residential sectors. We saw a significant increase year over year in construction sales tax collections. Just for the month of September alone, we saw over $300,000 received more this September than we did last September, and we're ahead of last year's collections in all of the months so far this quarter. So very strong there, and as you know, we dedicate those one-time construction-related revenues to our capital projects, and so we expect to have those resources available to be able to fully fund those construction projects and those capital projects that we have on our plan for this year. We're seeing our expenditure budgets, our department budgets, still trending under budget. Departments are very diligent about monitoring their spending throughout the year, so we're seeing those tracking right on target. Touching a little bit on the community center fund as well, we're seeing much improved performance this fiscal year over last fiscal year's performance through the first quarter. So I believe we're ahead about almost $400,000 to the good in our net performance, our net bottom line on the Troon operations year over year. And so that's very positive. Just for the month of September, we saw the food and beverage operations over there performing about $8,000 ahead of budget. Just for the month of September. So very positive results. And as you know, we're getting into the busy season over there at the community center on the golf side, particularly in food and beverage. So they're ramping up their programming over there. They're ramping up their advertising and outreach and putting together a lot of good membership categories for folks that may want to golf but may not have the time to golf at all times during the day or during the week. So they're looking at options to market for those facilities there coming up in the busy months. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Stacey, thank you. I think I just wanted to kind of reinforce that sometimes it is about time, and you know, we operate like a business now. And I want to thank Stacey, not only you but all the directors, Mr. Sharp, you and your talents as well, kind of inheriting a situation or inheriting the seat of town manager. You know, sometimes those decisions are difficult, and we did have to put off CIPs. But, you know, it was a prudent decision. It was done by design. And so now that we're starting to see more of the positive cash flow, we can start allocating some of that money incrementally so, and hopefully continue on that positive trend. So thank you very much for that. With that, is there a motion to approve item A?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
All right. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Mr. Standish, regular agenda item number 1.
1A, resolution number R16-48, amending the general plan future land use map from neighborhood commercial office to medium density residential for a 17.8-acre property located at the northwest corner of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Vistoso Highlands Drive. 1B, ordinance number O16-12, amending the Rancho Vistoso planned area development from commercial C1 to medium density residential and allowing the use of an ESL flexible design option for a modified review process for a 17.8-acre property located at the northwest corner of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Vistoso Highlands Drive.
And before Roosevelt starts with the staff report, I want to remind council that it's 1A, 1B, but I had Mr. Standish read the items concurrently, and Roosevelt's going to do his presentation for 1A and 1B. But when we get to the actual vote on the item, we'll have to have two separate motions and two separate votes for 1A and then separately for 1B. And this is a public hearing. So after council questions, I'll open up the public hearing. Roosevelt.
Thank you, Mayor. So our purpose tonight is to discuss two land use applications related to a proposed 39-lot residential development. Our first application is a major general plan amendment to change the land use from commercial to residential. Our second application is an amendment to the Rancho Vistoso planned area development, and that's to change the zoning of the property also from commercial to residential. That request includes ESL's modified review process, which I'll talk about later in my presentation. So the approximately 18-acre site is located in Rancho Vistoso on the northwest corner of Vistoso Highlands Drive and Rancho Vistoso Boulevard. Some of the surrounding land uses include Splendido and the golf club at Vistoso Golf Course. So our first application, again, is a major general plan amendment to change the land use from neighborhood commercial office to medium density residential, really similar to what you see in that picture today. Major general plan amendments are reviewed against the criteria in our zoning code. This slide shows the four. The first one deals with changes in the community. These changes could be changes to infrastructure or changes to growth trends. Second deals with socioeconomic betterment, such as the convenience of living closer to work. The third reflects whether or not does a request reflect market demand. Is there a demand for commercial as it is today, or should they go to residential as the applicant's requesting? And last is whether or not the request will have an adverse impact on the community. And my following slides will address each of these. So right off the bat, so the criteria number one deals with changes in the community. The changes we're seeing today is that there's not enough rooftops in this area to support a commercial land use. And this is something we've seen in the last 3 years, and here's why. So when the Rancho Vistoso PAD was adopted, it planned approximately 14,000 homes. 3 years ago, we had a request very similar to today for major general plan amendment. At that time, we saw two-thirds of those homes to be built. And the big takeaway here is that we thought commercial would still be viable on that property. And the reason why is because there's other vacant commercial pieces that could still be developed. So kind of fast forward to today. Those blue areas that are shown there, those are the projects we've seen in the pipeline, if not approved, within the last 3 years. The Rancho Vistoso PD planned approximately 2,600 homes on there. What we're seeing is one-third of those homes to be built. That's what's expected today. And this right now is a change in the community. It's something that we need commercial rooftops to make it happen. And with this change, it's not looking like it's going to happen. So with that, that's the first criteria. The second one deals with socioeconomic betterment. From the neighbor's perspective, this request is compatible with the surrounding area. And the reason is it contains same design, density, and lot sizes as some of the single-family neighborhoods nearby. A good example would be those to the east here. We have larger lots as well. The third deals with market demand. It appears that this request is a response to market demand. As you can see here, all of the different projects we've seen in the last 3 years, a lot of those single-family homes have been absorbed into the market. So this looks like it looks like it's in direct response to that. And for the last one, whether or not does a request have adverse impacts on the property? Actually, it's going to have a lesser impact than what's allowed by the commercial zoning today. And the reason is it's going to have less traffic, less noise, less building height. The zoning today is commercial, which would allow a 34-foot tall building. What they're proposing is 25-foot tall buildings, one-story homes. And this was addressed during the neighborhood meeting process. We had neighbors to the north who wanted to preserve their city views. We also had neighbors to the east wanted to maintain their views, or I'm sorry, to the west, wanted to maintain their views of the Catalina Mountains. So again, to address this concern, the applicant has agreed to go to one story. And this is what that looks like. So when you take in the fact of the distance the development is and the proposed building height, the existing views would be maintained. And here's what you can see. This is looking east to west at the Catalina Mountains. Here's our property line. Here's our golf course. And you can see here that the one-story homes would be below that view shed. So in summary, the major general plan amendment does conform with the criteria in our zoning code. So now I want to talk about the Rancho Vistoso PAD amendment, which is essentially the changing the zoning of the property from commercial to residential. And the tools we use to look at this application include the Rancho Vistoso planned area development and the zoning code. So right off here is the site plan that's being proposed today. It includes 39 lots, lot size about 9,000 square feet, with access points using existing curb cuts, you know, they're already out there, on both Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Vistoso Islands Drive. And again, the one-story building is a condition of the rezoning, so that's really important here. So as part of this request for a planned area development, the applicant is requesting the use of ESL's modified review process. This would allow their site plan design that you just saw to be approved through administrative review under the final design. So we go straight to administrative review. Our planning commission, as well as staff, would support this request because we've seen the applicant work with the neighbors on the design. And two, if they were to go through the same process, we'd likely get the same outcome. The same design would show up. So with regards to public participation, we've had two neighborhood meetings with approximately 40 residents at each meeting. The concerns that were raised as well as addressed by the applicant included preserving the existing views, traffic circulation, and wall design. And a lot of these are reflected in the conditions of approval. So in summary, the proposed major general plan amendment as well as a PAD amendment does conform with the general plan as well as the applicable zoning provisions. And our planning commission has recommended approval of each, including the use of ESL's modified review process. Mayor, Council, that concludes my presentation.
Council, have any questions? Vice Mayor Waters?
The modified process, refresh my memory, the tentative development plan would come back to Council if there were any changes to that plan.
If there are significant design changes, such as changes in access, changes in lot configuration, something that's really substantial would come back. Changing the lot line in between two lots would not, something that's considered minor.
Now, my other question is about changes in the community, which went from commercially viable, we thought, to not commercially viable. Mm-hmm. Do you have any kind of theory about why actuals are so far below projections for development in Rancho Vistoso?
I think it's just the way, that's just how Rancho Vistoso has been developed. What we've seen in throughout a lot of the subdivisions, such as the Maricay project, a lot of them were developed around between 2 to 3 units per acre. Get examples at Maricay. They were allowed 1,100 homes. They did 344. You know, that just historically, that just had the trend out there. We are seeing a lot of underdevelopment than what the PAD envisioned.
What does this say about the future of Rancho Vistoso?
You know, that's a good question. I'd probably defer that to my planning manager.
Smooth, Rosa.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Well done, Mr. Arellano. I think it says two things, that you know, the market is sending a very strong signal that at least in these times that lots around 8,000 to 10,000 square feet are what's selling. That's what's driving the lot size is the market. What it says about commercial is that some of these commercial sites, there are not many left that are in areas that are not at very high traffic intersections, are at risk in terms of being viable. The commercial that we have within Vistoso, where there is heavy traffic, such as Tangerine and Rancho Vistoso Boulevard, those are solid. They've got not only rooftops nearby, but they have a high volume of people going back and forth on the road. So sites like this that are commercial, we may need to be taking a look at again in the future.
So. Thank you. Councilman Rodden?
Yeah, Roosevelt, having attended the two neighborhood meetings you talked about, it certainly appeared that the developer had worked with the neighborhood pretty extensively around building heights and view blockage, et cetera, all of the things that we were always concerned about. And it seemed to me that they were pretty much on the same page by the end of that and any other conversations you had. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. I would point out there was one resident that wanted to go to a building height, I think like 23 or 24 feet.
22.
But at the end of the day, what we looked at from that concern is that because of the distance, it would still have a lower, it would be a slight difference. You really couldn't tell from that.
So another reason perhaps for the modified review process is that all of that work has been done over the last several months, maybe the last few years when this started in 2013. So that was just my question. Thank you.
And the comment I want to make is at one point in time, too, I think Oro Valley's vision of how the town was going to progress was to basically have homes around different nodes and just basically have commercial areas that would be patronized by just those homeowners. And I think the direction the town of Oro Valley is heading is to really get away from that. And really have central areas, i.e. Oracle Road, Lambert, La Cañada, even really Naranja and La Cañada as well, and to have those more larger centers, the Oro Valley Marketplace. And I think we're kind of getting away from that. And to your point, this has been up, I think, 2 or 3 times in front of us. And the other thing also is that as far as the commercial goes, okay. Make sure that's it just sounded like a fire alarm, so that's why I just got real quiet.
disappointed the Chiefs didn't jump up, but that's okay. We'll have that conversation later, Andy. but also, too, you know, I get the fact that we live and die by sales tax. There's no town property tax. But there's no guarantee that if you have a commercial center as well, that you're going to get a sales tax revenue business either. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of businesses out there that are not sales tax revenue generated, and so it is a risk, to be honest with you. And lastly, to Mr. Vella's point, I think that a large portion of really why the number of homes haven't been built in the town of Oro Valley is because of the ESLO, to be honest with you. You get the increased density, but the town of Oro Valley residents, myself included, value open space. And so I think that developers are respecting that. I think they realize that. I think that they see that we want to create a very unique community. And I do see that partnership between development and also the planning staff and mayor and council as well, including the residents. And I just wanted to thank them for that as well. And I think that that's a certain percentage of why the growth in Rancho Vistoso, specifically with the number of homes, almost 14,000 allowed to about 8,400 now. So what, Councilmember Rodman?
Just one more quick thing. I was going to wait till after the public hearing, but when it was in front of the Plan Commission, in which we recommended against it and the town did it, I charged the staff to say, if you're planners, tell us if this plan still works, having this commercial there. And, you know, you're the guys who, that's your job. And they worked and they talked and they said, yes, we still believe, and this was, I think, in 2013, that yes, you know, these things that you're talking about now hadn't started, the densities we didn't know about. But at that point, the planning staff said, no, we are not ready to give up on this. It still may be viable. But in this last 3 years, what you've shown up here is what's occurred and shows that, no, we're not going to have the rooftops, as you said. But that's a little bit of the history. Thank you.
So I'd like to open the public hearing. I do have one speaker, Paul Loomis.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Paul Loomis. I'm a resident of Oro Valley. And I'd like to first congratulate the new council members. Congratulations. I think you'll have a good time. The other thing I would like to do is congratulate the town staff, planning staff, for the success of the general plan election. They did very well. They did a great job, and that was reflected in the voters' approval. But what I do want to highlight is that you're amending the general plan even before the vote has been certified. Past policy was not to allow amendments in the year of revisions or for a year after voter approval. The reasons for the previous rejections of the amendment are the continued loss of commercial sites around the town. This is the last large commercial site in Rancho Vistoso Boulevard north of the Safeway Center. The site on the southeast corner of Moore Road has been reduced to a small site, which would support maybe an office or a 7-Eleven. It wouldn't support any large commercial development. The other elements is the site was originally commercial since it is within walking distance of medium to high density condos, townhomes, and neighborhoods in the PAD, allowing people not to have to go to either end of Rancho Vistoso to shop or dine. The town still needs neighborhood commercial sites to support sales tax revenues, as you said. You're running out of sites that are going to be large enough to support that sort of neighborhood commercial development, either in Rancho Vistoso or along Oracle Road. The other concern is that much of the high density is still allowed by the Rancho Vistoso PAD. These rezonings, and shiftings that have been done in the different neighborhoods have simply transferred density from one neighborhood to another, so that there's a big bank out there that is still approved density for Rancho Vistoso. And there are areas that are still not built along the Big Wash and Honeybee Wash. Those are areas that still need to, that are all identified as high density development, which would be supported by commercial development at this location. Those rights are still in existence. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further speakers, so I'll close the public hearing. Council, have any further questions? Oh, yeah, and afterwards, just fill the card out.
No, you can
speak now, but just make sure you submit a card.
Thank you.
Sure.
Mayor, member of the council, town staff, my name is Ken Husted. My wife and I own two properties immediately adjacent to this proposed land use change that you're considering. Our interest is in ensuring that whatever is developed on this property is compatible with the existing subdivisions west of Rancho Vistoso and north of Vistoso Highlands. That is generally low-profile homes, one-story homes on 10,000 or so, more or less, square-foot parcels. We do generally, my wife and I, generally support the proposed general plan and planned area development land use changes. We do so with the understanding, though, that the conditions that have been discussed at the neighborhood meetings that are on the tentative development plan will carry forward with the ultimate project that is developed on that property. Those conditions, as you know, include minimum lot sizes of 8750, maximum number of lots, and a one-story building height. These conditions were the reason we don't have a room full of people from our neighborhood, because there was a good job by town staff and representatives of the property owner that to have good discussions, but it's a big leap of faith to think that those conditions we've generally agreed to will be carried forward to the ultimate development of the project. So we're a little nervous about that. The one exception where we may not have agreement is the building height. There was flags on poles put out there at 25 feet, and they're pretty high, and most of the single-story homes around here, in fact, all the ones I've gone out and measured are 21 feet or less. So we'd like to have a further discussion about that. In closing, I'd just like to ask you that you consider the conditions on applying the conditions that are on the tentative development plan to any approvals you may do with the land use planning. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? Okay, with that, I'll close the public hearing. Council, have any questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion for 1A.
Let me make sure I'm in the right place.
Oh, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Rodman.
I move to adopt resolution number R16-48, approving a major general plan amendment from neighborhood commercial office to medium density residential for parcel 10J Rancho Vistoso, finding the proposed amendment is consistent with the general plan and conforms with the amendment criteria.
Second.
The motion is second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Is there a motion for 1B?
I think I'll get there.
Where is that? Okay.
If I get there, I'll do it.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Rodman.
Thanks. I got the fastest iPad. I move to adopt ordinance number, it's either 0 or O, I'm not sure which it is, 16-12.
Oh, yeah.
Approving the proposed PAD amendment and the use of ESL's modified review process, subject to conditions in attachment 1, finding that the requests are consistent with the general plan.
Second.
The motion is second. Any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor, if you want to just go over the conditions that we have. I don't have it up, but most of the things that were mentioned in the public hearing are in there, and if you look over at the staff, that's their job, is to make sure those things are there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Sure. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Mr. Standish, item number 2.
Discussion and possible action regarding a proposed conceptual site plan, landscape plan, and master recreation area plan for the Altera at Vistoso Trails subdivision located approximately 1/2 mile east of the intersection of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Moore Road along the future Moore Road loop extension.
Mr. Spaeth?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you. My name is Michael Spaeth, member of the planning staff. Our purpose for this item, as Mr. Standish indicated, is to consider a conceptual site plan, landscape plan, and master recreation area plan for the Altera at Vistoso Trails subdivision, a 150-lot single-family residential project located in Rancho Vistoso Neighborhood 5. Several key issues that I will address and are being addressed as part of this plan include a traffic light at the Rancho Vistoso and Moore intersection, sewer infrastructure in the larger Rancho Vistoso Neighborhood 5 area, as well as a community park in Rancho Vistoso Neighborhood 5, and I will go into more detail in my coming slides. So to orient folks, the subject property is, again, located just about a quarter mile east of the intersection of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Moore Road. As you can see on screen, along the future Moore Road loop, just north of where the Honey Bee Archaeological Preserve is shown in green. The conceptual site plan, again, is for 150 lot residential lots on approximately 115 acres. Again, there is a requirement and a condition in the packet for the construction and implementation of a traffic light as necessary at the intersection of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Moore, as shown in the orange circle. There are two access points off Moore Road, highlighted in yellow here, and the subject, or the site plan, excuse me, also preserves approximately 46% of the site as open space. Thirdly, there is a temporary public wastewater treatment station, or lift station as they are known, included as part of this development, shown here in purple, which will connect to the existing infrastructure on Rancho Vistoso Boulevard. Lastly, again, there is a community park shown in blue near the southwestern tip of the subject property, which I'll go to in a little more detail on the next slide. That particular park is approximately 6.9 acres in size and will be constructed in two phases, the first of which will be built in conjunction with this development, and the second will be built in conjunction with future development along Moore Road as it comes in. So briefly, you can just kind of see here on the screen, we've got some ramadas, turf areas in phase one, and then some turf area and two dog parks located in phase two. So in summary, the proposal is consistent with the zoning code, design principles and design standards, as well as the design standards of the, or design guidelines, excuse me, of the Rancho Vistoso planned area development. The Conceptual Design Review Board recommends approval of the conceptual site plan and landscape plan, as well as the master recreation area plan. And the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board recommends approval of the master recreation area plan. Mr. Mayor, if you'll let me, I did pass over something on the screen I wanted to highlight. Staff and the applicant worked extensively with both the Parks and Rec Advisory Board as well as the Rancho Vistoso HOA in putting together this master recreation area plan, and both are in support of the project. As a private park, the Rancho Vistoso HOA will be responsible for maintenance and upkeep. So, Mr. Mayor, that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Council, have any questions?
All right, Mayor.
Vice Mayor Waters?
I move to approve the Altera at Vistoso Trails conceptual site plan, landscape plan, and master recreation area plan, subject to the conditions in attachment one based on the findings in the staff report.
I second. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Standish, item number three.
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding a proposed grading exception for the sanctuary at Silverhawk subdivision located near the northeast corner of First Avenue and Naranja Drive.
Set up really strange.
Mr. Spaeth.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, me again. As Mr. Standish indicated, this request is for a proposed grading exception for the sanctuary at Silverhawk subdivision located just down the road here at the intersection of First Avenue and Naranja Drive to allow cuts in excess of 6 feet. Subject property, again, is located at the northwest corner, approximately, of Naranja Drive and First Avenue, as you can see on screen.
And the proposed grading exception is really focused in this area near the intersection, highlighted in yellow here. As many of you are familiar, this intersection is important to this request because currently, as we all see it every day, the topography surrounding the intersection sits about 19 to 20 feet higher than the intersection itself, as shown on the screen. As such, the applicant's request, indicated by this kind of approximate road location shown on the screen, would result in a safer and more desirable road construction rather than having to have a construction that kind of has to teeter its way over the hill that's out there we're all familiar with. So briefly, the zoning code does establish review criteria for these types of applications, and the applicant's request is consistent with those types of criteria. And the Conceptual Design Review Board has recommended approval subject to the conditions included in your packet.
This is a public hearing. Did somebody say Mr. Mayor?
I did.
Okay.
Sorry. All right.
So I'd open the public hearing. There are no speakers. I'll close the public hearing. With that, council's entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
I move to approve the grading exception for the sanctuary at Silverhawk Subdivision subject to the conditions in Attachment 1.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Mr. Stanis, executive session. Pursuant to ARS 38431-03A1 and A3 for discussion and consultation with its attorneys regarding the town manager recruitment selection process. So I'd like to entertain a motion from the council to go into executive session.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The following members or staff will be joining council in executive session: interim town manager, town attorney, human resources director, Stuart Satow with CPR or CPS Human Resources, and the town clerk. I've never had that much. The meeting will convene after the executive session. Call meeting back to order, please. Council members, microphones are live. Any future agenda items? No call the audience. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
You adjourn. Thank you. Aye.